It's showtime, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to That 590 Show. Matt Berger alongside Matt Rocchio. John G. Mighty Rudolph behind the dials. Hope everybody is having a fantastic Friday Eve, as Rocchio likes to call it. Other people call it Thursday. Rocchio calls it Friday Eve, because Friday's when he goes out and he shakes his ass. The Bellman Automotive phone line is available at 855-282-8255. The text line also available at 855-282-8255. And you can add us on Twitter at 590show, at Matt_Berger, at Rock590, and at JohnRudolph22. Joining us at 620 will be Taryn Schaefer from PGAtour.com. And at 7 o'clock, Richard Justice from MLB.com. All guests appear courtesy of Bellman Automotive, BellmanCDJR.com. But we are very happy to have an in-studio guest today. He's got a very stern look on his face. He brought his laptop. He brought his calculator. He doesn't look very happy, but most auditors normally don't. Eric from QC. Oh, Giamatti, that's not nice. We want our guests to feel welcome here. He's a nice guy. Make him feel welcome. There we go. That's how you win over the auditors. You can't be mean, man. They're your friend. But Eric from QC, very nice to meet you. So glad that you could make time for us.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. I appreciate this opportunity. A grown man gets to feel like a kid for a night.
Yeah, that's the way we kind of describe the show. We're like grown adults. Well, I'm a grown adult. Rocchio and Giamatti are still kind of children. They're millennials. I'm a grown adult. But yeah, that's the best way to describe it. You can follow Eric on Twitter at EZE12373. Is that your birthday, 12373?
It sure is. I'm a couple days younger than you, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A couple years older, too. I'm 12577, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you got me by a couple years, but that's all right. I mean, they make me feel like I'm 95 anyway. Don't worry about it. Let's head to the Bellman Automotive phone line, and Mr. 99.9% joins us. Mark, how are you?
I'm fine. How about you, gentlemen?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm glad O.J. Simpson is almost a free man. You still got a lot of O.J. Simpson haters out here, man. And
he did kill two people, so there's a good reason to hate him.
Well, what's that proving?
What's that proving
that he killed two people?
Oh, come on!
How much money does he still owe the Goldman family? Mark,
$40 million.
Oh, it certainly does. That's what a civil case was about. It's a wrongful death case.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there who wanted Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown dead. You're right. It wasn't O.J. It was somebody else.
there's
a lot of people out there who want to take out a Jewish waiter and a blonde woman.
I can't. I mean, I wonder why people are against O.J. I'm shocked.
But I'm glad you're happy, Mark. I'm glad that your boy's coming out. I'm glad your boy's getting free.
First of all, he never should have spent 9 years in prison.
He did get the book thrown at him for something that was a little harsh. Right. I'm with you on that one. But you had to know.
If you're going the first time, you couldn't get him. They couldn't get him the first time, so they're going to bring up this crazy charge.
And if you're OJ, you had to know that was going to happen. If you're OJ, you had to know that was going to happen.
He was carrying a gun. He didn't pull a gun on anybody.
No, he did it. And they took a bunch of stuff that wasn't his. I mean, like, you're right. They threw the book at OJ. But if you're OJ, you got to know. You know what? I kind of sort of got one over on the legal system. I mean, you know, like, maybe I don't believe it, but a lot of people do. The legal system certainly does. If I get pulled over for anything, any kind of legal trouble, they are going to throw the book at me, and they did.
Right. And that's wrong, too. You think that's right? That's not right, man. I mean, that's not right. You judge the case on the the present case. You can't go back just because, okay, well,
I'm with you. No, I thought the sentence was pretty harsh. I mean, he got 33 years for what he did, eligible for parole after 9.
I had some people actually react like, I can't believe he got off on parole. I was like, well, say what you will about the first case, but this one they did kind of put him in for a little bit extra than he should have been. There was no. I don't think there should be no shock that he got off on the parole hearing. There really shouldn't be, considering
none at all.
Everything Mark said, he's correct about that.
So that was my thing. I'm happy that he's free legally. He should be free, but like I still think he's a terrible person. Like
oh well, yeah, of course.
Giamatti coming in from left field.
And now you mean go ahead, Mark.
From what I'm hearing, everybody said O.J. Simpson was a prime example of a quality human being, man.
You're churching it up a little too much. O.J. Simpson might have been a model prisoner. That's the reason why he got paroled.
No, I'm talking about before all this Nicole Brown Simpson.
Oh well, yeah. I mean, he did a great job of smacking her around. So yeah, he was a great guy.
Wow, man.
Mark, he got arrested. There were so many times the cops were called to his house because he was smacking around Nicole Brown Simpson. They had photos of her all bruised up. Come on, Mark.
Okay, so that means he committed murder because he abused her. Does it? That mean he killed her?
Okay,
too?
Mark. Who killed her then? Who wanted her dead?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
I understand now that the case has gone completely cold because, you know, it's been 20-some-odd years. But now O.J., you know, he's 70, so he's probably not as nimble as what he used to be, but now he can go back out and try to track down those real killers.
Okay, if O.J. did it, why the glove didn't fit his hand when he put that glove on?
That's because he didn't take his medicine to calm down his arthritis. Yeah, he also put it on over a rubber glove, too.
His team, the people around – Mark, his team, the people around him have admitted on camera that he put on a rubber glove, that he didn't take his medicine so that his hand would swell. That's straight from the mouth. I mean, you can't deny that stuff.
That came straight from
it's
Johnny
Cochran.
It's
simply the truth.
So he didn't take his medicine. Man, that is kind of hard. Yeah, I mean, your hand gonna swell up that big, like a baseball that you can't get a glove on. That's what you're telling me.
When you have when you're 15 years removed from playing in the NFL and you have arthritis already. Yes, that's exactly how it works. That's how the disease works, Mark. That's what happens when you. That's why you're given the medication, because your joints flare up. And this is a former NFL player. It was already happening to him, and his personal assistant, a guy who was his close advisor for almost 20 years, admitted on camera that they deliberately did not take his medication so that his hands swelled up.
Well, I find that hard to believe.
What do you find hard to believe that actually happened? What do you find hard to believe?
I just don't. That don't
oh, you know why? Because then maybe your boy OJ might have done it. That's the reason.
No. Like I said, if that glove, like what Johnny Cochran said, if that glove doesn't fit, you must have quit.
Okay. Johnny Cochran. Just because it rhymes doesn't mean it's right. That's what you're saying. Because it rhymes, that's what made it right.
Look at the prosecution. They bungled that case from the beginning.
You're right about that. The prosecution certainly bungled it up. And here's another thing, too. They had a complete stroke of luck when that woman in North Carolina, that one who was trying to write a screenplay, she just happened to have those tapes of Mark Furman. And once those tapes of Mark Furman came out, it was over.
When that came out, I say, OJ is off. He's free.
Yep.
He's a free man.
As soon as I heard those tapes, too, I'm like, yep. That's all the defense needed was Mark Furman saying the N-word and then admitting that he planted evidence. Bam. That's all you needed. It was good night, Irene, after that.
So that's why I say, you know, O.J. was in this. I said, man, how can you believe anything these police officers are saying, man? They're taking evidence out of the car, taking it on, planting evidence, jumping over the man's gate, taking evidence. I mean, come on now. I mean,
here's the thing. He absolutely did it, because who else is going to want her dead? He was a jealous man, completely jealous man, and she knew it, and he saw his ex-wife with a younger guy, and he snapped. That's exactly what he did. It was a total crime of passion.
But what, Marcus Allen dating her, too? Marcus Allen was messing with her for a while.
Okay, so what, maybe Marcus Allen killed her?
I'm just saying.
That seems skeptical, considering Marcus Allen didn't have extensive knife training like O.J. Simpson did for a movie that he was studying up for. Also, there's the fact that his alibi doesn't match up in any way, shape, or form. Plus, you can't account for the blood being on the outside of the Bronco. He can't.
Okay. That is. And what about the evidence that the police planted? What
did they plant?
The evidence that the only part of the evidence that was under account by the prosecutors, the experts they brought in, was the blood on the gate. It's not what we're talking about.
Didn't somebody take some evidence home or something?
It was the blood right. sample from the gate.
Right.
It's the one sample we're talking about.
It wasn't Furman, it was a different officer.
It was where now?
It wasn't Furman who took it home. It was a different officer. It was one of the captains, I believe.
So that tell you right there, you got two or three officers taking stuff home, man.
No, you had one officer taking stuff home.
You have one officer taking something home.
You have one officer taking stuff home. The only connection to Furman is that he was the one who found the second glove, and then they connected it to the conversations he had with the author from North Carolina.
And Furman also said on the stand that he never said the word, the N-word, too.
Oh, well, Mark Furman is an absolute total POS.
And see, that's the problem, is we're getting into the same thing that the prosecution successfully did, which is make it the trial of Mark Furman, not the trial of O.J. Simpson.
Exactly. This is not about Mark Furman. This is all about O.J. OJ absolutely did.
And as much as I don't like what O.J. most likely did, I can't fault Johnny Cochran for being a freaking genius.
Oh no, the defense did their job. They earned their money.
They played it exactly how they did. The media making it a huge case. They played the media exactly how they had to.
They did it beautifully.
Those guys were magicians.
I'll give him this. He had some of the best attorneys money could buy. That's
You're right.
Sure, man.
You're absolutely right. They did a beautiful job of getting O.J. Simpson off that murder charge. There's no question about that.
He probably shouldn't have been allowed to keep signing autographs in jail to help pay for that incredible defense team, but hey, that's just me.
I really don't have that big of a problem because, I mean, you're innocent until you're proven guilty at that point, so.
Right.
Still. Okay. Find me the other mates who can bring
that in. Guys.
All right, Mark. Have a good night. You too. Dave the Pipe Layer texting in, leave it to Mark to be the first caller jumping for joy that Orenthal James is free. He's the guy that forgets that racism goes both ways. I don't understand what racism has to do with any of it, but I called it. I knew Mark was going to be the first one to call in. Big Al now joins us on the Belmont Automotive phone line. Big Al, how are you?
I love you, bro. Where the white women at?
How's it going, man?
Let me just say this. Hey. It's kind of like my condom. If it don't fit, you're going to quit. So I got Cialis if you want to swell up, Mark. But I just want to tell you this, boys. In 1979, I had the press pass because I wanted to be, for I don't know what reason, one of you nerds. So I had the press pass, and I interviewed O.J. Simpson in 79. I still got the press release. It says, this is the one and only time rookie O.J. Anderson will be across from the great O.J. Simpson as he's retiring with the San Francisco 49ers. And I interviewed him for a half an hour, and he talked to me about his first movie he was going to ever be in called Goldie and the Boxer. And you know and I know, boys, if you get caught with a press pass asking for any kind of stuff and he reports you, you're done, right?
Yep.
And I asked him, I go, O.J., I go, can I have your jersey? Because I want to put it in my college radio station in a frame. The only time that jersey would have seen the college was when I walked through with that baby on. And he pulled up the shelf, and he goes, where's my jersey? And he goes, we just packed it.
So he kind of screwed you then.
He was a good dude up till that point, Mark. But Marcus Allen is my dude, and I'm Raider, Mark. You know that. And Marcus was, let's just say he would fake Nicole to the outside and run right up the middle like he did against the Redskins.
Uh-oh.
And O.J. didn't like it.
Big Al, always bringing the heat.
Love you, boys.
Have a good night, Big Al. Yeah, go Blues and say hi to your wife for me. I hope she's still doing well. I mean, everybody who's...
Three sheets at 6:16. That's impressive.
It's probably still since like 9 a.m. this morning when he called in the morning after and talked about his putter. He thought someone stole it, but it was actually at someone else's house. But O.J., like everybody that has encountered O.J. has all said the same thing. Nicest guy they've ever met. I heard Halley say it on the hard line, talking about how when he met O.J., O.J. was the nicest guy ever. And I mean, Rocchio...
It's almost like sociopaths show two different sides of themselves.
Well, okay, but I mean...
Shocker! Like, it's like I didn't see this one coming.
Okay, but you're too young to remember because 1994, I don't think you were even born.
I was.
You were two years old.
Do some better math.
Okay, you were 2 years old.
What, are you going to talk about him being an NBC anchor and all that stuff?
Okay, what I'm saying is that when it was announced that he was a suspect, everybody was stunned.
Except for anyone who lived in Los Angeles because they all knew the stories about him beating the crap out of Nicole.
So your point is what?
I'm just saying is that you're right. No one saw it coming except for the people who were in close enough proximity catch the police report stories didn't get out to the
net. OJ's friends and the LAPD that were answering his calls. But, outside of that small fraction of American society, everybody else was stunned. It'd be like finding out that Peyton Manning killed his wife.
I'm just saying, I know.
Seriously.
The way I've heard it talked about since then is that it was a talked about thing casually in Los Angeles. I mean, because people who knew about it in the police departments told their friends, who told their friends, who told their I'm just saying, apparently in Los Angeles, it wasn't the most shocking thing because the police officer, it had been through about 2 or 3 years. It would have been kind of something that people had talked about a little subtly. You hear this about OJ and Nicole, you hear this about OJ and Nicole. And then, of course, we find out that guys like Marv Albert had known about every little minute detail of the stuff between him and Nicole and just never talked about it and just kind of were very hush hush when it eventually all started breaking out.
There's no way he could have gotten away with it today. With Twitter and everything, not. No, there's no way. Everybody would have known about it. Coach Tim texting in, tell this clown to drink bleach. Nothing unites the texters like the callers. It's a crazy world out there. But, O.J. Simpson out just in time for Halloween and Thanksgiving. If you want to go out to Nevada to pick him up with caller Mark, you're more than welcome to. But if you are going to go out there and pick him up, please, do it in a white Bronco. Have a sense of humor about it. Nothing?
Nope. Yeah. Thank you, Giamatti. Good job.
How are we doing so far,
Eric? I think Giamatti's finally getting the hang of it.
That was kind of hard. I thought that white Bronco joke was pretty bad, but Giamatti done. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I didn't want to get involved in the O.J. Simpson talk. I did follow it.
You got an Ito one locked and loaded. Really topical there, Berger.
Now, I thought there were some cases where there were some calls into the police with him and her having arguments. And
oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there was some history before all that did happen, I believe.
Yeah, plenty of it, but I mean, I don't think it was nationally known. Well, but, I mean, had that happen now,
this day and age,
with Twitter makes everything national.
Because, again, like I said, it had gotten out from the police station, and then back then, as soon as one of those police officers mentions one thing to one of their friends,
boom,
they're to Twitter.
Right on Twitter.
And then TMZ jumps on that person's Twitter, DMs definitely them for more information, and then boom, it's gone.
Someone's going to file a Freedom of Information Act and want the police report and everything else. No, you're right.
And I don't know. It's hard for me. Just my last comment is, when you watch that documentary and you guys got Shipman who knew OJ when he was a little kid and then was an LA police officer, and he talks about how he asked OJ a couple questions and after question three he was like, yep, he did it.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to completely look away from those kind of things and be like, come on, you can't there's all this stuff. But yeah, conspiracy is fun to talk about, I guess.
I guess the conspiracy of who else would have done it was a Colombian cartel or something.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Apparently Ron Goldman was moving a ton of cocaine.
Yeah, that's Charlie Tuna's theory. Charlie Tuna's theory that it was a Colombian drug cartel hit because Ron Goldman was selling all kinds of blow out of that restaurant.
Well,
that's what Tuna will tell
and
you.
And I tell you why. There's one reason why that's probably why the one theory that people have settled on. It's because it's the only other way you can get that gruesome of a freaking murder. Her head was just
almost completely decapitated.
80-90% cut off.
I believe it was called the Colombian neckties.
Yeah, exactly. That's essentially what it was. But again, my big thing has always been that OJ had advanced knife training for a movie that he was trying to get into around the same time.
Well, I know there's a lot, there's a saying the juice is on the loose now. However, there's still a lot of hurdles for him. He's not actually in the clear. I'm sure there's going to be some probation. He's going to be watched.
Well, yeah, he's on probation. I mean, so it's not like he can do whatever he wants.
And he might stumble. I would be willing to bet a lot of money that he's going to trip over something along the way.
2018, I think he's back in jail.
Well, yeah, the big question, a lot of people says, is he going to be on the straight and narrow?
No.
And obviously the big thing we have to look at right now is how ridiculous he was after he was acquitted of Nicole Brown Simpson's murder.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he jumps on all those reality shows. He's dressing up.
He wrote the book, If I Did It.
He's standing on the freeway with, big signs and stuff like that, doing all these, early reality shows that were all over TV in the early 2000s and became a big thing. He kept doing much of those, and he was just falling off the deep end. He's partying in Miami. Obviously, that led to where he is now. But I have my doubts on whether or not he's going to completely lock it down once he gets out of this.
Coach Tim with a couple more texts coming in. I still have the Broncos chase on VHS and planning to have a watch party this weekend. I hope to be invited to that, Coach Tim. And he also says he's 70 years old. Who is he going to kill? I mean, he still looked like he was in pretty good shape when he was walking into that courtroom. I mean, yeah, he's 70, but that strength doesn't just completely go away. Have you ever heard of old man strength? It's a thing. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Taryn Schaefer from PGA Tour.com. Round one of the British Open completed today, round two tomorrow. She's going to help us talk about that. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.